Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
With that, we're going to be interviewing Carl Barney, heard earlier. He's no ordinary entrepreneur. After surviving a harrowing plane crash, he turned near death into an epiphany. He pioneered PreQuest, which is giving wealth away while you're still alive. And this will boost your happiness and help cement your legacy. His new book, The Happiness Experiment, will challenge how you think about success, fulfillment, and what it really means to live fully. So tell us a little bit about the PreQuest. Can you explain that for our audience?
When I started to think about doing PreQuests, I went to the dictionary to look up the definition and found it's not there. And then I thought, well, Google knows everything. So I went to Google and I said, what's a PreQuest? And it said it's a rock group. So I thought, that's not going to work for me. But, you know, it did start with that harrowing experience with on an airplane. We were climbing for altitude. The engines were very noisy as they climbing. We were a few thousand feet up. And suddenly, a massive explosion shook the whole plane, kaboom. And then everything was silent. No engines, no air conditioning noise. In fact, nobody screaming. And the plane just continued to float up. It was really weird. But, of course, that was the momentum. But being gravity, whatever it is, you know, it started to dive down to the ground. And as we were diving, one of the flight attendants got up and said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a technical problem. You're kidding.
Just a tiny little technical problem.
And then he said, and we're heading back to the airport. I said, no, we're not. We're heading right into the ground and we're all going to die. And you know, what goes through your mind when that happens? Well, it was just a shattering experience. I wasn't able to think except, I mean, the first thing that came into my mind, I was heading to a meeting, a business meeting, and I thought, oh crap, I'm going to miss my meeting. And then the next thing I started to think about, well, I'm going to die. So the people in my will, I had 20 people in my will, employees, former employees, and friends and teachers, people that I was very grateful for. And I thought, well, they're all going to sit around and they're going to get a lot of money. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be there to enjoy it. You know, they're going to have this. And I wish I was there to explain it to them. So that was the beginning of the PreQuest idea.
Where was the plane crash?
I was flying out of Reno and into, well, you're going to have to read the book to see if I survived or died.
Your book is about the plane crash and how it changed your life, is that?
No, it's not. The plane crash is just where it started. The idea is that, well, let me tell you this where it really initiated. My sister's husband was dying, and so I flew to England because I wanted to help her and support him. And so I sat down with my sister and I said, you know, you're in my will. And it was a lot of money for her because she didn't have any money. And I'm fortunate I have some money. And I said, you're in my will for a lot of money and I'm going to bring it forward and make it a PreQuest. And she said, what's a PreQuest? And I said, well, rather than getting it when I die, you can get it all now. And she said, all that money now? I said, yeah. And so she burst into tears. You know, she was overjoyed. And I said, you know, we know that Colin is not going to die. You know, he'd been given 6 months. And we said, no, we know he's not going to die. But just in case, you can use this money to fulfill your last wishes, to pursue some dreams. And that's exactly what she did. Unfortunately, he did pass. Mm-hmm. And so she had a wonderful time with him in his final months. So that was where the PreQuest idea was born. But then it was, well, if I do that to my sister, what about the other 20 people, not relatives, in my will? Should I make them a PreQuest too?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I feel like we've PreQuested a lot of money to our kids. But that's different. That's not exactly what you're talking about.
But the lawyer in me is coming out now and saying, as opposed to a bequest, it's a PreQuest, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
Typically, when you're drafting a will, you bequest something to somebody.
I think if you can afford to do it, that's a marvelous idea. I mean, look at the gift that you gave your sister. That's just priceless, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Elizabeth, we do that to family, and I did that with my family. But these are 20 people who are not family. their employees, former employees, friends, teachers. There was a housekeeper, a driver, 20 different people who, interesting enough, I was very grateful for. They had been generous in some way to me, and I wanted to tell them thank you. And so I had these people listed, big thank yous for when I died. But then I wasn't planning to die in that tune. So I sat down with each of these 20 people, and I said, look, I'm very grateful for what you've done for me. And they had been generous. They'd done a lot for me. And I said, I want to give you a big thank you. So you're in my will for, you know, how much money? And they thought, wow, that's great. I said, but there's a problem. And they said, well, what's your problem? I said, I'm going to live until I'm 120. You may not see any of it. And so they said, yeah, that is a problem. You know, and I said, look, I also, I'd be dead. I wouldn't be able to see you enjoying this. And I want to see this. And also, if you'd enjoy it while you're young enough to enjoy it, I have the money now. So I'm going to bring it forward now and give it to you as a prequest. And they said, wow, that's really great. It had a big emotional impact. But the next step was, you know, I just didn't want to give somebody a lot of money and overwhelm them, because it can overwhelm them. It can actually hurt people if you give them too much money too soon. And I said, before I give you the money, I want to know a plan, an investment plan and another plan, so that you know what to do with it when this money hits your bank account. And they said, well, what kind of plan? And I said, well, a happiness plan. And they said, well, what's a happiness plan? So I said, I'll hire a coach for you. And Jenna, this is where you came. I said, hire a happiness coach. So they'll sit with you and help you do the happiness planning. Create a happiness plan. Let me see it, not to approve it, but just let me see that you've done the planning, and I'll send you all of the money one time, and you can pursue your happiness.
That's great.
So did they all do it?
They all did. They all created a plan. Some people created a plan within 3 weeks. Others took 10 months, and one person took 10 months to create the plan. So they really got into it with their coach, and the coaches were terrific. A lot of it was the coaching that made the biggest difference, not the money. The money was important, but the coaching was the big thing. And so they come up with these. Some people's plans were rather simple, straightforward. Others were elaborate with pictures and slides. It was a whole presentation. But it made a big impact on them. And some of them said at the end of the time, it wasn't the money, the one that loved the money, but it was the planning that made the difference. And so that was very special.
You state that your giving has elevated your happiness level. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Really, this was very interesting, because when I started to think about doing this, I thought, this is ridiculous. How can you get your friends together and say, look, I'm going to give you all this money now rather than when I died? And so how do I go about that? And I had to do this authentically. It had to mean, be real and credible for me. And so I thought about the people, why were they in my will? And it all came back to the same thing. I was grateful to them. And then I thought, well, why am I so grateful to these people? And then I realized that all done something for me. It may have been something small or something big. When I needed help, when I needed advice, when I needed support, they were there. Particularly employees and former employees, to whom I'm really grateful, because I wouldn't have been able to create wealth and success without them. So I was grateful. And I identified where this gratitude come from, and it was their generosity to me. And really what I was saying was thank you. I was expressing gratitude. And I think that enriches us. And I think that's why it enriches us, because it's a fair thing to do if they've been significantly helpful to you. So of course I became happier. I'm surrounded by 20 very happy friends who are pursuing their happiness. So how could I not be happy? They send me postcards and tell me about what they're doing to enjoy their life. It's lovely.
Well, that's very nice. So have you run out of money? I mean, do you
I saved a little bit for myself. Oh, no, I have a lot. I have plenty of money over. I've been quite fortunate with my wealth. And I have a lot of charities that I also want to support if I finally die. But I'm still working to 120.
Good for you. What became instantly unimportant after you survived that plane crash? When you hit the ground and whatever happened and you said, my God, I'm alive. Was that business meeting still important? You said initially it was, but what became unimportant to you?
I think some things became more important and others didn't. And I resolved to spend more time pursuing my own personal happiness. So that was a commitment. But I get a lot of happiness pursuing my work. You know, as entrepreneurs, and Jerry and Jenna will say this, this is what we, if we had complete choice, it's what we would do. And I loved meeting with my executive team and running the schools, but it did give me some pause. And when you know you're going to die, it's a pivotal experience. It makes you think. And I certainly did a lot more thinking about it. And I did resolve to pursue more of the things I love to do, take more time to read, more time with friends. And I think that was a really big thing for me, because in business, I'd forgotten a lot of long-term friendships because all my friends were at work now. And so I had not done that. So I consciously thought, I'm going to reconnect with friends. And that's what I did. And that was enriching. And these are many of the friends that are in my will today, or were in my will, but now they've got requests.
And having friends is one of the hallmarks of people who live long lives, is they have these social relationships.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, they have the support.
So are there any habits that you would recommend to people for maybe working toward becoming more happy? It seems like generosity is a theme here, and that being generous to those around you can increase your happiness.
That's a great question, Richard, because one of the books I've liked is Atomic Habits, and I've listed in my book happiness habits, things that we can do every day and throughout our lives to increase our happiness. And I go back to thinking and planning. Think about what it is that makes you happy, what you can put into your plan, your dreams. I'm a big believer in dreams. If you can imagine you've got all the time, all the money, all the help you receive, what would you do? And I created a dreams list, and I'm working on that dreams list. So I think that's a really important step toward happiness. And also identify a central purpose, a central purpose. We have lots of purposes, but a central purpose is really critical. And there's another thing that I've...
And so what would be your central purpose?
That was management and education, pursuing... Well, it became creating a group of private career colleges and a university, independent university. And I'm still working on that purpose. I'm now working on creating a great university through using modern technology such as AI and avatar teachers. So this is my central purpose.
In your opinion, is there a difference between happiness and satisfaction?
No, satisfaction is a level of happiness. There's a scale of happiness. And if you're going to increase happiness, satisfaction is a sort of a contentment. That's a very nice level of happiness. But there can be more. It can be more fascination, more interest in life, enthusiasm about life, exhilaration, exaltation, even ecstasy. You know, we have this levels of happiness where you get to a point where you're just loving life, loving your own life. And that's a very high level of happiness. But wherever we are, and we go up and down all the time, but there's a steady level. We can increase that gradually. And contentment is a fine level, but it's a lower level.
Well, I was going to ask you about that up and down. So what do you do if you're trying to maintain your happiness or increase your happiness and negative thoughts keep creeping in or negative things keep happening? How do you rethink those in your mind?
Well, I think you answered the question, Elizabeth. You rethink. You think and plan. And I'm a big proponent of coaches. You know, the Beatles sang, "We all get by with a little help from our friends." We all get by with a little help from coaching. And, you know, it can be coaching from a spouse. Each of the other's coach is the other, and friends, and therapist, or whomever we can, you get that coaching. And I think that that's what's needed. And then I love the idea of thinking teams, a team thinker, a duo thinking. And a coach is really a thinking partner. And that helps enormously. And spouses can be thinking partners for each other. But this is my default. Go back to it. If it's a problem, or even if it's an opportunity, and especially if it's an opportunity, think, how is this an opportunity? How can I pursue that opportunity? And then create a plan. And that's worked for me ever since I was a kid. And there's a story how that all started. If we have time, I could tell you that story.
I would like to hear that story.
So would I. Hold that thought. We have to take a commercial break. You're listening to Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhardt, Carl Barney, author of The Happiness Experiment. Don't forget, if you want to experience more of Passage to Profit, you can do so by subscribing to us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, or you can subscribe to our podcast anywhere that you get your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show on any of these platforms. Coming up, we have intellectual property news and then everyone's favorite, Secrets of the Entrepreneurial Mind. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs, In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs. And unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. That's 800-577-4742.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Carl Barney. Happiness is his thing. I love it.
Yeah.
And he's got a story to tell us about his childhood, starting early, and how he got to where he is. So, Carl, we are dying to hear the story.
Okay. Well, I'm 17 years old. I'm a kid. And I read in the newspaper, I'm in London. I'm English originally, American by choice. But in London, I read this little item in the newspaper which said two young men are going to drive a car overland, obviously, to Australia. And they were looking for two others to go with them. So that night in the cafe, I sat down with my friends. I said, hey, guys, these two fellows are going to drive a car down to Australia. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that terrific? And they said, what? Drive a car? That's impossible. That can't be done. I said, oh, sure, it can be done. Well, what if you get sick? What if the car broke down? All of these problems. I said, no, they'll be able to do it. So after about an hour, half an hour, I lost the argument. So I said, well, I'll go with them. So I called them, and I went down, and for month after month, We were kids. We knew nothing. We were 17, 18. I think one was 19. We had no idea what a passport was, what a visa was. We didn't have maps. There was no internet. There was nothing. All this. So we had to figure this out. And that's where I started to learn to ask and answer questions, which is the essence of thinking. And we had 100 questions. What should we take? What medical supplies? What if the car did break down? What kind of stores did we need to take? What kind of food we had? Where would we eat? Where would we sleep? All of those questions we had to answer. So we worked on this for months and months, month after month, and I got that lesson ingrained into my being. I'll tell you just one other little thing. After we'd done this, we're ready to leave. One of the fellows said, there's four of us, one of them said, my mother's not well, so I'm not coming. And then another one said, I'm sorry, fellows. I'm sorry, chaps. My girlfriend and I have got serious. We're going to get married, so I'm not coming. And then the last one said, well, Carl, two of us, that's not enough, so it's off. And I was crushed. I thought, well, this is not going to work. And I sat there devastated for several minutes, and one of them said, well, what are you going to do, Carl? I said, well, if I have to, I'll walk. I'll walk to Australia. And he said, that's ridiculous. How are you going to walk? He said, well, I'll backpack. I'll hitchhike. I'll do whatever I need to do. And that's exactly what I did. I, quote, walked to Australia. And that story is in my book.
Wow. Well, and you know, I feel like there always has to be a plan B. I mean, we've gone to plan B so many times, plan C, D, E. But every time, it seems like every time I try to do something around here, something goes wrong. And so we always have to have a backup. But I've never had a backup plan that is walk thousands of miles. Do you know how many miles you walked?
It's about 10,000 miles overland. And I flew from England to France, went through France, Italy, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Turkey, went across Iran, down to Pakistan, through Pakistan to India, there all around India, down to Ceylon, which is now called Sri Lanka, and then took a ship from Sri Lanka to Perth, Australia. And so I got there overland. It took about 5 months. And it was quite a trip.
So after you got there, did you just turn around and go back, or
No.
Did you stay for a while?
I stayed for 5 years, and I traveled around Australia. And then I always had I always admired America and Americans. I had a feeling for it. I loved the movies and the Americans I'd met in England. They were upbeat and cheerful and ambitious. And I thought, well, I'm going to spend time in Australia. I mean, in America, so I came to Australia, America, and I've been here over 50 years now.
Wow, where do you live?
Laguna Beach, California, in Orange County. Laguna Beach is beautiful.
So yeah. Did you think you were happier back then, or are you happier now?
I'm definitely happier now. You know, for me, I'm always figuring things out, always getting smarter, always learning something. But it's been a very gradual process. Getting happier is not overnight. Sometimes something happens overnight. You fall in love or something special happens and you get a boost to your happiness. And that happens. But generally, it's little by little, little by little. And little is enough, you know, just keep it increasing, keep it working. And it's like growing a business, you know, you get a few more customers and you come up with something new and then you do a little bit more and a little bit more and the business finally flourishes and becomes very profitable. I love your title, for instance, Passage to Profit. Is that what it is? Oh, Pursuit of Profit? Passage to Profit.
Passage to Profit.
I love it. It's a great name. And
Thank you.
That's the same thing as the passage to wealth and the passage to happiness, in my view. You get a lot of happiness running our business and doing our work.
I think so. And I wanted to ask you, for one thing, to make yourself happy, do you think people should try to laugh more?
Oh, I think humor and laughter is wonderful. Yeah, I think happy people do laugh and smile a lot, you know. And I think that's a way we can gauge, are we happy today? How much time did we smile? How much time did we laugh? Or this week? You know, I think that's a significant hallmark. I mean, the other thing is, for me, is like I like to do little dances, little jigs around when I'm, you know, excited and so forth. So I sort of know. And the other way, you know, you can tell whether you're happy is sleep is a terrific barometer of your happiness and your mental state. If you're sleeping well, you put your head on the pillow and, you know, within minutes you're sleeping and you wake up with a smile. You look forward to the day, you're happy.
Yeah. And do you feel like happiness is infectious? Because when one person starts laughing, another person will start laughing. Can you spread the happiness to others and kind of lift them up with you?
You know, that was something I noticed in the book. When I was doing this experiment, because my friends were becoming happier. Mm-hmm. And their families became happier and mm-hmm. their friends became happier. So it definitely spread. It ripples out, no question. And we know this. When we're with happy people, we tend to smile and be happy with them. And that's definitely true, I think.
Carl Barney.
Carl, where can people find you and where can they get your amazing book?
Well, thank you for that opportunity, Richard. It's on sale in all of the usual places, Amazon, of course, in various formats. It's there on Kindle books or audio books. And it's also at Barnes & Noble. And we're making some bestseller lists already, which I'm very happy about that.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.